fantastic question. It really is the first time I've been asked it this way.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and put that one in the vault.
Well, I mean, you were honestly due, if not overdue. Well, your boy was on a little bit of a run.
You've had a good week.
Little bit of a run.
You had a good week, but I wasn't going to let you head into the weekend with too big of a head. We had to we had to tap that thing down a little bit.
Well, it's not over yet. There are more guests yet to come.
Are there?
I mean, I was hoping.
Maybe.
I mean, we were kind of hoping for a Golden State
Warrior. We're working with the Dubs.
Yep.
We're working with the Dubs.
Yep, which would be nice.
We shall see. They have a players union meeting, and so it's a busy day for them.
Yeah.
And
it's a nice bounce back for you. I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. And I got that from a guy who I disrespected right off of the top.
I know.
Well, I can't get, you know what I mean?
You said NFL Network?
No, I said NFL on Fox because you've been talking to Charles for years. We used to have Charles on Fox Sports Radio all the time, mm-hmm. like every week. And it's just like you have one of those associations with a person and you can't unsee it or unhear it or undo it. I just can't.
Right.
But I think he kindly told me it's time.
Right.
It's time to undo it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, especially with a lot of these broadcasters, maybe not Charles, but, you know, when you're bouncing around, like, whether you talk about, like, you know, Tim Kawakami, who was with the Mercury News.
Oh, Mercury News. Yes,
he went from the Merc to the Athletic, and now it's the Standard. And, like, a lot of times you're just so used to, you know, giving somebody their plaudits in a certain place, and now they're in a different place.
We're going to go back to the phones in just a sec. Knockout tournament is back Monday, January 27th. That's not this coming Monday. It's the one after that. That's when everything starts. You can play basketball on the Chase Center floor. Super cool. We'd love to have you out there. Let's play some ball. The whole contest will go for 3 weeks. So every day, every show, starting Monday, January 27th, you will have a chance to qualify. So that's 15 consecutive weekdays that you'll have a shot in the 8 a.m. hour, the noon hour, the 4 p.m. hour. So just be with us and make good on your chance to come play ball on the Chase Center floor. Got to be 18, got to live in California. Other than that, we'll see you there. So I want to add this to the conversation with regard. We're talking about the quarterbacks still playing. How many of them would you take Brock over? Sounded to me like you pretty much only would take Brock over Stafford. Did I have that right?
Yeah, right now. I mean, Stroud is close. And
I'd take him over C.J. Stroud.
I think Goff is kind of situational. Yeah. I do think that what he's doing with that team right now fits him so perfectly. And that's where I have a hard time with this. And the other one is Jaden Daniels. I mean, I think that if you look at who's done more in their career, it's Brock.
For sure.
But Jaden's arrow is pointing way up. So
right. I mean, you could argue Brock's done more than Lamar Jackson, but who would do that?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, Lamar's got two MVPs and he's maybe about to get a third.
Yeah, Brock's done a lot more in the playoffs.
Right. And it's, again, this is where I have a hard time with this conversation because what Brock has done is, you know, win games with his team. And what Lamar has done is, you know, do a lot individually. And his team hasn't done as well. And,
right.
you know, his coach chose not to run the ball last year against Kansas City. And so a lot of this is so circumstantial that I do have a little bit of a tough time with the conversation. Like, if you put Brock in Baltimore and you put Lamar here, well, both offenses are going to be completely different. And, you know, Shanahan's not going to run 21 personnel right. with Lamar.
Yeah, but that's the job of an offensive coordinator or a head coach or whatever to put their players in the best right. position to succeed and all that stuff.
All that stuff.
Lamar's going to be a better player than Brock Purdy no matter where he plays,
exactly.
I would argue.
Exactly.
And the Stafford thing, I'm with you. If you had asked me this like 7 years ago, I would take Stafford. I think the arm talent is there. He's won a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? But if we're talking about right now, that's the answer I would give. But by the way, there's also some quarterbacks who are not playing anymore
yeah.
who I would take over Brock, starting with Joe Burrow. Actually, even though it ended the way it ended last week, if you offered me Justin Herbert, I would take Justin Herbert over Brock Purdy. I think there's an interesting conversation about Jordan Love. I would lean Brock, but that one gives me pause. The other one who's been eliminated is Baker Mayfield. Would take Brock over Baker Mayfield.
And Sam Darnold.
And
would
Sam
be the
Darnold,
other one.
And I
yep.
would take Brock over Sam Darnold.
Sure.
But, yeah, let's dive into this a little bit. Tommy in the city. Hi, Tommy. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, man? I just wanted to touch on that subject about the quarterback situation. And I think everybody in the playoffs right now would be better than Purdy right now, honestly. We're talking about Mr. Irrelevant here. You know, he did his thing as a quarterback, you know, because that's his job. You know, he was a third string, so he had to play well under pressure. And I'm not going to take that away from him. But I think that, you know, why keep starting the guy who was third string? And just because he did his thing, you know, he had a well-rounded team behind him. It wasn't just Purdy. So I think that anybody would be better than him right now. And they need to reevaluate his contract and talk about some trades with him. He has a good team. I just don't think he's the one for Niners.
Yeah, I wonder why. Yeah. Why is the draft position that much of a thing for you, Tommy, would be my question. Like, aren't you allowed to be good? You know, even if you were drafted, isn't it possible that the league kind of misevaluated?
Yeah, but we're going to have to try to chance that and see what happens if you get on another team, or let's try and see if it happens next year. They had a complete team in my eyes. He had good receivers. He had a great defense. Of course, they weren't healthy and all, but he kind of threw those last games, you know, against Detroit. And how you blow a lead like that and get hurt, that was kind of a Garoppolo move.
Thanks, Tommy. Wow. Appreciate it. I didn't love the way he played in the fourth quarter of a handful of football games this year, Detroit being one of them.
Right.
Weird game, weird vibe. I was there. It didn't matter for anybody. So, you know, it just didn't have that angst. That doesn't take away the fact that he made some bad throws. He was unbelievable in the first half of that football game.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable in the first half of that football game, how good he was. So, but yeah, that doesn't take away the fourth quarter interceptions.
It doesn't. And it also can't take away what he's done in, you know, four playoff wins.
Sure.
And he's played in six playoff games, and four of those have resulted in victories. And so we can all cherry pick all we want. And I'm fascinated by the idea about Mr. Irrelevant, because if you look at these eight quarterbacks who are all playing this weekend, do you know how many of them was drafted outside of the first round?
I'm holding up a finger before you even finish the question, because I already have the exact same thought. The answer's one.
And you know who it is, right?
Jalen Hurts.
Right.
That's it. He's the only non-first rounder still playing.
And if you look at the rest of the quarterbacks, you have like Stafford was he number one overall?
Number one.
Jared Goff, number one overall. And then
CJ Stroud was number two.
Jaden Daniels was number two. And Lamar was number 32.
He was at the very end. Josh Allen, I think, was maybe seven.
Somewhere
or eight.
In there, yep. And Mahomes was in like 11, the early teens. Yeah,
11, 10 or 11,
yeah.
12.
So when you look at it, like all these quarterbacks are first rounders. And I did this before with you. If you look at the history of Super Bowls, do you know how many of them were won by first rounders versus not won by first rounders?
Wasn't it like around half?
It's a little more than half were won by first rounders. And I know it's skewed a lot by Tom Brady, but Tom's won seven.
Sure. And Montana.
Right. So there's 11 of them.
Right.
But then you also talk about, you know, Kurt Warner is a guy who was obviously outside the first round. He was undrafted.
All.
And so as you go through it, just because you were a first round quarterback doesn't mean that you are ticketed to win the Super Bowl.
Jonathan in the city next. Hi, Jonathan. What's up?
Hey, happy Friday, guys. I just want to say, man, I'm going to take the field or the eight quarterback because you know why? They don't have durability issues. You know, they don't have Brock's injury history. They're all bigger. And I've seen every one of them connect with a deep ball on a regular basis all throughout the season. It's not to say that Brock is a bad quarterback, but you know what we say all the time, right? He's the best that we have right now. But if there's a better option, we take the better option. And before I go, I just want to say, as a Warriors fan, I want to do some scratching. And the only way to do that is for them to sign a guy with a last name Itch.
Nice. Vucevic. Nice. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks,
that's
Jonathan.
A four.
I'm in. I'm in for different reasons, but I'm in.
Right.
Let's
talk about durability.
Let me spotlight this one. And again, you could pick any one of the quarterbacks you're talking about or what have you. I don't think there's a ton of wrong answers here. These are all eight good players, and there are a handful of good quarterbacks who aren't playing, and Brock Purdy's one of them, in my opinion. But let's talk about Jalen Hurts, for example. And I wonder if A.J. Brown were sitting in this room right now, what he might say with regard to whether or not Jalen Hurts is more durable than Brock Purdy and throws a better deep ball. Here's one thing I will say. This is a tiny little portion of the conversation. If you want to just talk about throwing the football, that's it. Throwing the football. Brock Purdy is miles better than Jalen Hurts. I mean miles better than Jalen Hurts, and I bet his wide receivers would be the first ones to tell you that. I mean, Greg Cosell sat here on this show 2 days ago and said right now, and for most of the year, Jalen Hurts just doesn't see it. He's had a decent enough year. They've won a ton of football games. They wouldn't without Saquon Barkley.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
We got breaking news that a Major League Baseball star, a young right-handed pitcher out of Japan, Roki Sasaki, has announced that he is signing with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yep.
Is he going to be their fifth starter?
I think he's coming out of the bullpen. Yeah, long relief.
Sure.
Yeah, actually, there was, and thank you, Grandy. Thank you, Grandy, for that. There were some tweets, there was some buzz very early this morning. Right. If you're an early riser, there were reports that he had said he was out on San Diego. He was out on the Padres. As soon as I saw that, and it was from a couple of places I believed, I never bought the Toronto thing. So yeah, over breakfast this morning, I had a moment and sat with the fact that I thought that Roki Sasaki was going to be the next.
Go Dodgers.
Dodger pitcher.
Right.
Yep.
So there you have it. So there you go, Major League Baseball.
Unbelievable.
Go ahead and take the majority of your stars and put them on one team, and if they don't win, it'll be a shame.
Such a shame.
Right.
We're sponsored by Safeway.
Shout out, take me out to the ball game.
Shout out that Jerry Seinfeld gift that everybody always sends out. 888-957-9570. We got some more calls to take on that. I'd like to react a little further to the Sasaki thing, and then we're going to circle back to the Golden State Warriors. Jordan Poole in town tomorrow. All of that is ahead. Glad you're with us. Willard and Dibs. Damn it, Farhan!
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right. How do we go about getting this off the chest?
Like, what do you have on there?
Well,
it's easy. Like, yeah, the Dodgers signed another player,
right.
Roki Sasaki, and
right.
He's either good or not good, but it seems like a lot of people wanted him, and he went there. So,
well, everybody wanted him because he's supposedly, he's got the stuff of stars.
Sure.
And he didn't wait. I don't want to go through the whole explaining all of this with the international bonus pool and all of that.
Right.
If he had waited a few years, he could have done like what Yamamoto did and commanded a very, very big free agent salary. He didn't do that. He wanted to come over and learn now from Major League Baseball players. So he's not only wildly talented, he's incredibly young and incredibly cheap. So who didn't want him? Everybody can afford him.
And that's the point, is baseball is so beyond broken. And like, the best thing about football is that your team can suck.
Thank you.
And you can play a last place schedule. You can get a couple of good players and an up and coming coach, and you can make a quaint little run. You can sneak in and be a playoff team. And in basketball is a little different, because if you're not a big market, you're really in an uphill battle.
Totally.
But baseball is even more dramatic that way. Like, if you're the Dodgers, you get everyone. And now that you can defer salary, so you can pay Shohei Ohtani $700 million, but you don't have to pay any of it now. You could pay it all later. So, you know, you get all the best players, and you don't really have a tax that you have to pay that's dramatic.
I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at. And for those of you who are just joining, Roki Sasaki is signing with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, Grandy, would you read off the potential starting rotation for the Los Angeles Dodgers this year?
Yeah, let's start at the top. Shohei Ohtani.
Okay, that's one.
Then Blake Snell. Hardly knew ya.
Mm-hmm.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Sure.
Tyler Glasnow.
Great.
And then likely Roki Sasaki as their number five.
All right, as their number five. So you asked if he was their number five starter. You weren't even kidding.
Right.
Like, yeah, he is.
Maybe.
Maybe. Are they bringing Kershaw back too, just to flank these guys? Like, here's the point. The reason I ask how do you go about getting this off the chest is I'm a Giants fan, and I don't want to sound like this is just Dodger sour grapes. It's not. I'm not mad at the Dodgers for this. Not even a little bit. They should be proud of themselves. They worked the system. They have the resources, and they worked the system. They have taken advantage of everything that is put in front of them. if I were a Dodger fan, barf, I would love everything that they're doing. However, short-term game, long-term loss, absolutely. Not for the Dodgers, but for the game. You're becoming college football. Grandy Lucas, don't get mad at me. I don't hate college football, but there are certain things about it, and it's why, for instance, when you and I sort of debated this a few weeks ago with regard to what college football is doing now with their championship bracket and an 8-team playoff, whether you love it, hate it, think it's concocted, here's one thing that it does do. It brings more people to the party. College football for too many years was stuck in a thing where they would get to January and basically the southeast corner of the country was the only group that was there. Cool. Clemson's playing Alabama. I don't give a rip. You got to give us an Oregon or an Arizona State or something. You got to give us something and put us in the party. And that's what baseball is now doing. It's great. Oh, dynasties are great. And yes, traveling road shows. And maybe this sounds ridiculous coming from a Warrior fan. The bottom line is this. You're Xing 90% of your teams out of the national discourse. And that is stupid. It's stupid. And the point you just made about football is a great one. One of the most storied organizations in the NFL lives in a tiny town in Wisconsin. That's great. And you can see the way people respond to that. They have become a national brand. And I've been there. It's tiny. It is a thumbprint of a town. And they have a presence across America as one of the great brands in sports. Baseball will never have that. You can be in a big city and you're a tiny town. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, whatever. I don't know what the fix is, but there needs to be a fix. You can't do this. This is just, it's not fun for anyone, and it will even become boring in the end to Dodger fans. I promise you, it's why Warrior fans love the first title and the fourth title more than they love the ones in the middle, because those were too easy.
That's an interesting notion about it becoming boring, because I'll turn again to the guys behind the glass who love the English Premier League even more than I do. These guys are diehards, and if you look at the Prem, as it is called from a colloquialism, and you look at the top teams and what they spend, they're the teams that always finish in, maybe not always in the top four, but they're always in the mix, and it's Man City, Chelsea, Man U, and Arsenal, and Liverpool. Those are the big five spenders, and those five are usually in the top seven, at least, unless Man U's been in a little bit of a bad spot, and so I don't know if those fans, like these two behind the glass, are Arsenal fans. I don't know if they get bored with the fact that they're always good, and it's a little different because Arsenal never really wins the Prem.
You can leave that part out.
Well, I know, but for Mark, who doesn't follow it as closely as we do, but at least when you're an Arsenal fan,
sure,
you're in it. And when you're a Dodger fan, a Yankee fan, a Red Sox fan, for the most part, you're in it.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. And you guys tell me, is the Premier League set up where basically those teams that you didn't mention are all the Washington Generals? Because that's
usually
what we're doing.
Although this year,
that's what we're doing.
Grandy he mentioned yesterday or the day before Nottingham Forest, which is a team that had been recently promoted from the lower league.
Right.
And I'm looking at the salary that they pay, and they might be, they're at 14th in what they pay, and yet they're third right now in the Premier League. And I mentioned Leicester City to you before, which was the most unbelievable title ever. A team that had this kid, Jamie Vardy, who was a, hard scrabble nobody, and he became a thing and they won the league. But that doesn't ever really happen. So it's kind of, if you're not one of those teams, if you're a fan of, a middling team, you kind of know going in you have no chance.
And that's okay. That's always been present in most sports.
Most sports, yeah.
That's always to a degree. I just feel like baseball right now is now in a steroided version of what we're talking about.
No doubt.
Like it's out of control. You to the point where you look at what just happened to the A's is part of this conversation. The Pirates, the Reds, the Marlins, these teams exist so that we can fill out a schedule. You've got five superstar starting pitchers, and you couldn't name a Marlin. You couldn't even name a player.
Don't make me name a Marlin.
Name a Ray. Hit me with it. Let's go. Let's talk about it.
Rocco Baladelli. He's still playing, right?
I think he's the manager of the Twins. Totally.
I think he was an original. Ray is the point.
And you also add in an I. It's just Baldelli, but anyway.
Baldelli. The point is well taken, though.
It's just, yeah, it's too much.
I'm looking at the salaries from last year, and the Mets were at $314 million, the Yankees $308 million, and I won't bore you with the list, but then you get to the bottom, and the A's were at $62 million.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, $84 million. So the A's paid $62 million in total payroll, which is 1/6 of what the Mets and Yankees pay.
It's not a real sport, is what you start flirting with. And by the way, again, this is not sour grapes. Everything that we're saying right now, I would argue, opens teams like the Giants up to criticism. Because it's like, if you do have great resources, why are you not acting like them? Why have you let them do this? Do they have a few more dollars than you? Maybe. Is their weather a little bit nicer? Sure. But what do they really have on you? You'd like Red Sox, Giants. What? Why? Why do you just sit here and can't compete with the Dodgers and Yankees? Why? Why? Yes, you can. Mission Rock. Why are we getting stories from Andy Baggerly about, Corbin Burns, ownership doesn't want to spend. Bleep you. You don't want to spend. Neither do I. Lower the pizza prices then. Like that, it completely opens these teams up to criticism. So this is not sour grapes. I wish my team could win. I point to the Giants for why they haven't been run better. But baseball does have an issue. You do need to, at a certain point, look at this and go, whoops, what door did we open that the Dodgers legally walked through that we should have locked? Because this is not what we meant.
Well, it's Pandora. It's Pandora's box, and it's open, and it's never going back, because the players will not go and say, you know what? We want a salary cap. We want to cap this thing to make it fair. And the owners are not going to say, you know what? We want a salary cap because we also want to make it fair. The rich want to spend to win, and the players are going to take every last dollar of their guaranteed money. Yeah. So this will never get fixed. And what unfortunately is going to happen is more things like the A's, where the A's leave town because they can't make money here, which is a lie, John Fisher, you weasel. And you go to Sacramento and eventually Vegas and you get a cash grab, and then you're not going to be any better, and you're not going to suddenly spend $300 million to try to win. You're going to try to make money. And look at your team, our team, down the road here. All they want to do is break even and make a little bit of money. And if they break even and they make, I don't know, $20 million a year at Mission Rock or whatever they're going to make on that, then they're thrilled. Doesn't matter if you chase a title or not.
And that's why they are opened up to criticism. And that's why I compare baseball right now to some of the feeling that I get across college football, which is that you're constantly facing games where you're like, well, are we all from the same league? Like, what are we doing here? Alabama versus the Citadel? Are we playing a game here? Or are we just exchanging money, filling up the stands, having a dog, 17 beers, screaming and yelling and going Roll Tide? What are we doing here?
To go back to what Dibs brought up about the Premier League in soccer, there are games like that all the time in the Premier League. Sure. Like, you have a team like Ipswich Town or Wolves or Southampton.
I love Wolves.
Some of the worst teams in the Premier League. What's different about the Premier League, and it's because of the relegation factor.
Yes.
Just being in the Premier League feels like a championship in and of itself. And you get so much money, and it boosters your club for the future. Just being at the highest level is enough of a championship for those teams, and you can deal with getting like 6 wins over the course of an entire season because you just are so overjoyed to be there. That's not the case anywhere in North American sports.
And
you got to fight for 17th place.
Yeah, and you guys are, I think, what you're talking about seems like that's been baked into the history of that sport and that league, similar to college football. I get that there's certain pieces of that you can't change. Alabama is what Alabama is because it's Alabama. Like, I can't put the Citadel on equal footing with Alabama, no matter what we do. But Major League Baseball hasn't always been like this. That's not the way that they drew this up.
Right.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is not a small town. But they're over here being like, by the way, neither's Oakland. But we're over here like, yeah, I'm sorry, can't compete. Can't even, why? And again, I don't blame the Dodgers, but doors got left open that people walked through that should have been locked. That and the Ohtani contract is Exhibit A.
Yeah.
That should not be. If that's going to open us up to this, where you can literally have the best team with most of the best players, start adding all the other best players to it without having to spend any money, who the hell let that happen?
Right.
I don't know, man. You can say, hey, they earned it. They're the ones who have that cash flow or whatever. Sure, that's part of sports. Like, Mark Davis and Jed York are not on equal footing. The 49ers can afford more in signing bonus money because Jed York has more cash on hand and because he's willing. And so there will always be good owners in sports and bad owners in sports and those with more resources than others. That's life. So I'm okay with that. But again, this got injected with steroids
yep.
in a way that there is no way that the sport intended to have happen. We can eliminate 88% of the teams before the year even starts.
No doubt. And I'm just hearing you and I'm thinking about exactly, you know, what has happened in the time since you and I were kids. And you were mentioning Pittsburgh and they won the whole thing in 79. And in 82, it was St. Louis, Baltimore in 83, Detroit, then Kansas City, Minnesota a couple years later. Oakland, of course, got theirs. Cincinnati got one the year after. And you think about who's won it of recent vintage, and it's the big spenders for the most part, and it's the big markets. I'm looking at the last time a small market team won the World Series, and it was Kansas City
yep.
back in 2015 when they knocked off the Mets. And when you're Kansas City and you get one, you don't get to sustain it because the players that you have
right.
are going to want a ton when they're superstars and they're going to go elsewhere to these markets who can afford to give you a lot more money.
Well, and I also, like, I get bothered by the fact that we even have to refer to them as a small market. I understand that Kansas City is not New York or L.A., but it's also Kansas City. By the way, their football team's in the middle of a dynasty.
Right, no, no but that's one's a salary cap league.
Again,
and that's
right.
the point.
That's the point.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's the point. And I know baseball has always had the biggest, baddest players union, and the toothpaste is out of the tube,
yep.
and you're right, there will never be a salary cap. But there has to be something. There has to be something. And I would argue this is even for the players. Not everybody gets to get an offer from the Dodgers. So that's great. If you get offered Blake Snell, Michael Conforto, go ahead. Play for them. Get your ring. Get your attention. I'm not mad at you at all. But at a certain point, this starts to become a net negative for the players, too, because there are more than half of the teams in Major League Baseball who will not offer big contracts anymore. It's why Scott Boras's clients keep sitting there in February like, not signing yet, and you have to end up with one plus one
yep.
because no one's out there offering deals anymore. Part of this is on baseball, and it's not directed at the players. It's directed at the owners. Forget salary cap. There needs to be a salary floor. If you're an owner of a baseball team, you've got to spend. You're not allowed to do this $62 million payroll. That's absurd.
When they finally did away with the revenue sharing that teams like Oakland relied on, John Fisher played the system where you wouldn't spend that much money, and it was because you were on the dole and the league was giving you money as an underperforming revenue team. There are so many things about baseball that are beyond broken, and for me, the biggest one beyond what you're talking about is the fact that if you are a good player, you got to do 6 years of servitude before you even go out there and get your money. So yep. if you are drafted by, let's just say, Minnesota, and I think that, was it Rooker for the A's
yep,
who just signed that deal?
Yeah.
And, you know, he signed early, and he signed for way below market because he knew that he was 30 years old, and he would have had to have three more good years to go out there and really get a big deal.
And not get hurt.
Right. So instead, yep. he's like, I'm going to take below market and get a bird in the hand kind of an offer.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mike Yastrzemski's another great example, a guy who He's been good, and he's far outperformed his ARB1, ARB2, ARB3 deals. But, you know, you're on the hook, and that's just the way it goes in Major League Baseball.
Well, and if you're someone like Yaz, who doesn't really get his big league shot until his late 20s, that's it. That's your career.
That's it.
When you're done with ARB, you're 36. Nobody wants you.
Right.
Nobody wants to sign you to a deal. Yaz will never get an opportunity to even go get a three-year deal. Like, never. He will not get that opportunity because no one found him until he was like 28.
Right.
So, yeah, the whole system of arbitration can't stand. I know there'll never be a salary cap. If there is some way, though, like, again, if I were going to rule this for a day, salary floor for owners, absolutely. Arbitration system, where's the trash can? And this deferment of $700 million, yeah. That's going to be a no from me, dog.
Right.
Like, that's it. Those three things.
It, but the cap
not
hit.
Like that.
I mean, it should still hit you to where on the annual luxury tax payment or whatever it is you have to pay in baseball, well, that would be there.
Yes, and I'm not allowing you to defer 98% of it
right.
either.
Exactly.
Like, no. Some, fine. But $680 million of the $700?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It's nonsense. And it's,
what are we doing?
Well, and we all love football for so many reasons, but the one big reason why I love it is the competitive balance aspect of it where, you know, even a team like the Niners, well, you know, if you didn't have Brock Purdy and you had an actual quarterback, let's just say you still had Jimmy Garoppolo, okay. He's making 25 or he's making 30 or whatever it would have been, you'd be facing certain financial challenges, but the Niners were able to get a seventh-round quarterback making $1 million to be really, really good, and that turns out to be a gigantic advantage for you. You drafted him, and now you're going to pay him, and when you do pay him, well, now the scale tips a little bit in the other direction. So it becomes fair when you draft a guy, and he works out, and you pay him cheap labor. And that's why quarterbacks go in the first round where, you know, if Caleb Williams gets to be better next year, well, then good for you, Chicago. You finally found a quarterback, and you get to benefit from that.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, we could even take this conversation to the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
I've always thought, and this is across all sports, if you drafted a player, the rules should be totally different. So, you know, like someone just texted in and goes, Dibs, the rule that you're talking about is literally what allows the A's to keep Rucker. Well, here's what I would do. Forget your stupid arbitration stuff, but give the A's total different rights of negotiation to Rucker because they drafted him. Like, the Splash Brothers would all still be together, and there would be so many other things that the Warriors would still be allowed to do financially if they didn't have to suffer the same consequences, luxury tax penalties, for signing their own guys. Now, if we're talking about Durant or Iguodala, different conversation. But, like, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson's salaries should not tally up on the luxury tax the same way some other contract would.
They do give you bird rights, though.
Bird rights.
When you have a guy, which allows you to, you know, keep a guy a little bit more easily. But I think the NBA is closer to, with their cap and their luxury tax, to, you know, making it equitable. The problem with the NBA is one player is such a huge part of any team that one player, a.k.a. Jimmy Butler, and, you know, what we talked about with the Ramona Shelburne article, if your one really good best player decides that he wants to blow up your spot, then you're in a really tough spot.
No doubt about it. Interesting conversation. 888-957-9570. You can certainly weigh in on that. And then what's the question? You phrase it. What's the question on Jordan Poole that you wanted to kind of throw out there?
Do you wish he still was on this team?
Okay.
I mean, right. To me, it's just as simple as that. Because I do think that there are some people who, if we only had Jordan Poole, I wish we still had Jordan Poole.
Is Jordan in town yet? Where are they tonight? I know they're here tomorrow. Where's Washington tonight? They're playing tonight.
I'll look it up.
Washington Wizards.
Lucas, get him on.
I don't.
you know, I'm big on my last minute guests.
They were home to Phoenix last night,
so they're here. They're here.
He's probably sleeping. Unless he can sleep on a plane unlike Fitz.
I think he's got his pods in.
Only lost by 7 to KD and the Suns.
Yeah, hotel gym, AirPods,
Willard and Dibs,
Odyssey app. 95.7.
Nice.
That's my guess. So
you don't know Jordan Poole.
I don't, but we've talked to him before, and he probably would like to never talk to me again, is my guess. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Let's get into that. 888-957-9570. It's as simple as that. We can take the context in the conversation. Do you still wish Jordan Poole was on the team? We'll take some calls on that next on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
What is your favorite or the best play on words using your last name that you've heard?
That ball got Schmidt on.
Oh! On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, take that, Dodgers. Yeah, how you like us now, Dodgers?
We got Casey Schmidt. See if you throw those one of those little Sasaki balls by him.
No, I don't think so.
Huh?
Nope. He hits some things. He hits the ball.
Hits the Schmidt out of the ball.
When he connects.
Yeah.
Every now and again.
Well, you miss 100% of the balls you don't swing at.
Yeah, that's
so he swings at 100% of the balls.
Although occasionally you don't mean to swing and it hits your bat. So, but I'll allow the cliche for the sake of this argument.
When I worked in the minor leagues, that was what the pitching coach used to say. If he had a starter go out there and have a bad day, he's like, "Well, you know, some of our balls hit their bats. And what are you gonna do?
Yeah. Well, one of those days, you know." Guy goes 2/3 of an inning, gives up a 7-piece.
Hey, does this grab you at all? And this had to be we needed some help from the group in order to unpack this one for me.
Mm-hmm.
But 18 minutes ago, Logan Webb tweeted out a GIF. And I'm sorry if you call it GIF. I call it a GIF. It might be a GIF, but to me that's peanut butter. So whatever. But he tweeted out a GIF of the Monstars. Basically, the unbeatable Space Jam basketball team. And then the GIF just says, time to play a little basketball. And if you're Space Jam literate, you know that the unbeatable Monstars, they lost.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry if you haven't seen the movie.
And I haven't.
You haven't seen Space Jam?
I don't think so. It was a little bit of a tweener for me. It came out in 96, so I was in my late 20s, not really into cartoons, and I was still 5 years away from having a kid.
But were you into Michael Jordan?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean I want to watch him act. Like, I liked Michael Jordan playing basketball, real, actual basketball. Doesn't mean I want to watch him act.
Okay.
What about the new one with LeBron?
Yeah.
Please.
Did you ever think about that?
I'm even more out on that. Like, I was not interested in watching Magic Johnson as a talk show host. I liked him as a basketball player. Doesn't mean I want to watch him host a show.
Okay. Yeah, you get to like what you want to like.
Right. And I like watching greatness be great. I don't like to watch, you know, greatness try to do something else and maybe be mediocre.
Well, that's fine. I would argue that there are talented people out there who have completely gathered our attention from one spot then to another.
No doubt.
You know?
Like Michael Jordan is a baseball player.
And Deion Sanders. How about Deion Sanders?
Well, when he was playing baseball and hitting .310 as a Red, that was exciting. Mm-hmm. And he came to the Giants, and it's like, yeah, he actually was a good baseball player.
He's all right.
Well, it's not like he was out
He's a better football player.
He was a really good baseball player. If he devoted himself full-time, and you can, you know, numbers are numbers and numbers are numbers, well, but if you want to look at his small sample size, the dude could hit, and he was a threat on the base
paths.
He's
an incredible athlete, but I do not remember his batting average being very good.
I know 1 year he hit damn near 300.
Well, his career .263 hitter.
Well, nowadays, you might lead the league.
Yeah, yeah. And for the Giants, wow, he hit better than I remembered.
Yeah.
He hit .285 with an OPS of .790. Why'd they let that guy get away?
Exactly.
Huh.
Probably Farhan.
Anyway.
Damn it, Farhan.
A little bit more on the... So what we're taking from the Logan Webb tweet is, okay, Dodgers, you're the Monstars. Let's play.
Right.
And as a Giants fan, you both love that. And there's a piece of me that hates that. Because that means that the San Francisco Giants, like so many other teams around baseball, are taking on the persona of basically the little engine that could. We're just a little guy. Let's see if we can go beat the Monstars. And I get it. There's nothing they could do about it. The Dodgers have created something that the players all want to join. So, you know, I don't blame the Dodgers. I don't blame the players for wanting to join it. I don't blame the opponent players for responding to it this way. But again, the only way I can describe it is the way that I already have. The baseball left some doors unlocked that they should not have left unlocked, and the Dodgers walked through them. So it's created this animal, and it may be a short-term gain, because when you do have teams that people hate, that's a good thing. Like, I think people are going to sit down at 1:30 tomorrow across the nation and root against the Chiefs. That's a good thing, right? Tom Brady and the Patriots. Oh, I'm so sick of Tom Brady and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. No, you're not, because you have something to root against. They were a foil or whatever. They are the big bad thing that you root against. The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Lakers, the Cowboys, stuff like that is good, but it's good in doses. It's not good if that's just what it is forever, all of the time. Some free agent is going to have to go somewhere else at some point. That would be good for the game, in my opinion.
Right. I mean,
the answer cannot be Dodgers 100% of the time.
Well, or Yankees, and, you know, just load up those two teams, and let's just meet in October, and let's just make the regular season even more irrelevant.
It's funny. I don't feel that way about the Yankees. I think people who feel that way about the Yankees is just because we've been living for a while. The Yankees have won one World Series in the last 24 years. They just lost the biggest free agent in baseball. He left.
Yep. Where'd he end up going?
New York.
Okay. So there you go.
Yeah, the other New York.
Right. You can look at 20 teams right now around baseball and just kind of pat them on the head and say, you know, make sure you have your bobblehead night and, you know, all your neat little promotions and get your cute little $23,000 a night. And, you know, you play baseball and it's fun. And, you know, when Cincinnati takes on the White Sox and when, you know, the Guardians take on the Rays and all the rest of these matchups of mid-market against mid-market, it's a reason why baseball will never, until they change, have that national hold, because it's regional games of guys you've never heard of against other guys you've never heard of.
You're absolutely right. And I guess my only hope in this moment is because the Giants just had a regime change. So, you can't really hold feet to the fire yet. Like, the Giants are 0-0 in the Buster Posey era. I hope that this makes Buster Posey seething mad. That's what my hope is for right now, because I think that he's got the pull to convince ownership to do some things. I think we've already seen some good returns based simply on his presence. You've already gotten at least one very big-time player in his prime to decide, I see the vision. I see the vision. I understand it. I'm going to buy in. I'm joining. You know, Verlander's different. He's 40 years old, although I don't even think he, you know, as he put it, he wasn't even thinking about the Giants until Buster Posey kind of talked to him and presented something to him. So I would say the early returns on Buster are good. But we're going to obviously have to see a lot more than this through the next 2 to 3 years. And I hope that this kind of thing gets sort of like what you see from Logan Webb. Like, dude, get your competitive juices flowing and realize that you're not the bottom of the Dodgers' shoe. Like, when the Dodgers come to town
in July,
that's offensive.
Yep.
Right now, the way that building looks and sounds when they're in town.
I've never seen you so mad.
It is offensive.
You were angry.
I don't care what the final score of the game is. But when you got your left field merchandise stand selling Dodger gear, and you've got that crew taking over the ballpark, and half the place looks blue, and people are chanting back and forth at one another, it's fine. There's always been opposing fans in the building. It's no different down there. But no. Right now, that vibe in that ballpark when the Dodgers are in town, I hope Buster finds it completely unacceptable, because as a fan, I sure do.
Right. And they come July 11th, 12th, and 13th. That's their first visit. And I find it curious that you're having a Barry Bonds bobblehead day in the second of those three games.
That's really curious.
Right. Like, do you really need to gin up the ticket sales when the Dodgers are in town? And maybe you do that to try to avoid
They're trying
so
to
many
gin
Dodger
up the sales to actual Giants fans.
I guess. And you've got the Spirit jersey and the final game, which is actually the final series before the All-Star game, which is in Atlanta this year. So the first Dodger visit, and they come only twice, is not until July, which, again, I don't want to harp too much on Major League Baseball in one show, but this balanced schedule is a bunch of crap.
It's dumb.
Where you only play the Dodgers 12 times, and you only have two visits from L.A. and two visits down there as well, instead of the old where it'd be 19 against the Padres and 19 against the Dodgers and Rockies and the D-backs.
You said it right away, actually. Like, the fact that their first visit is in July?
Yeah.
When the season is already April, May, June, three months in. We're 3 months in already at that point. That's terrible.
Right.
That's terrible. The Dodgers should be one of the first three or four teams to come to town every year, the same way the Giants should be down there.
Right. Instead, your opening series, Reds, Astros, Mariners, Reds.
Boy, that gets the blood boiling.
Reds, Astros, Mariners, Reds. So your opening homestand.
Wait, did you said Reds twice?
Reds, Astros, Mariners, Reds.
They come back again?
Reds, Astros, Mariners, Reds. You open up with three in Cincinnati.
Oh, in Cincinnati.
Correct.
I thought you were talking about homestand.
Reds, Astros, Mariners, Reds. Those are your four series. So at Cincinnati, at Houston, home to Seattle, home to Cincinnati.
Give me the first couple homestands, though. So Seattle
Let
and Cincy.
Let me say it one more time. Reds, Astros, no, Mariners, Reds.
But those aren't homestands. Seattle and Cincy come.
Right.
And then what's the next homestand?
Mariners, Reds, Brewers, Rangers. There's your first month. Mariners, Reds, Brewers, Rangers. And that comprises 13 games. Your first 13 home games, all in April, include, checks math, no divisional opponents.
Awesome. Awesome. Super exciting.
Yeah, right?
Thank God.
Go baseball.
Willie Adames used to play for the Brewers, so at least we've got
there
that.
There it is.
Willie Adames revenge game.
It's the Corbin Burns.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.